Hello there, and welcome to the Comiccast, Ireland's number one comics podcast. I'm Liam.
And I'm Craig, and we're here with our April Fool's Day slash Easter special. As you may, unfortunately, bad news today, because Liam is dead. He's died, and I'm now hosting the podcast alone. You may thought you heard Liam earlier, but no, he's not. April Fools!
Whoa! I'm alive, it's okay!
Yeah, so that's all the stupid April Fools jokes out of the way early. So you can trust everything you hear for the rest of the podcast to be the absolute truth. How are you this week, Liam?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I fell out of a tree this week, earlier this week.
You sure did.
So I actually genuinely think I have developed a proper stay for life limp.
Yeah.
Out of this experience. Basically, I went to swing on a branch, I fell over, landed on my back, I heard all sorts of parts of me.
Screaming in unison.
Yes, and I have a limp now.
And a cane.
And a cane, yes. I'm like Willy Wonka now. That was my week. How was your week?
Yeah, I didn't fall out any trees, so it was pretty good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You want to give a rundown of what's going down on the show?
So, first off, we'll talk about what we've been reading, you know, the usual. I've read some comics, you read some comics, we'll discuss them in various levels of detail. Then we're going to call Bob Byrne. We're going to have a little mini interview with Bob Byrne online.
On the phone.
On the phone tonight, so we apologise. The sound quality won't be as good as our regular interviews, because it'll be on the phone. But it's bound to be great. Bob Byrne, he loves ranting.
And he's a wacky guy.
He is very wacky. So that should be good. And then I will just close off with I've got a load of news, you've got a load of news.
Yes. And we'll combine them together and create some sort of super news site.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first off, I guess, do you want to go first or should I?
Well, considering I've only read one comic this week, let's go with yours.
Okay, my first one here is Marvel 1985. I think I've spoken about this before briefly.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure I hadn't finished it at that point. I'd only read one issue.
Oh, okay. So that's right.
I've read the whole thing. And it's great. Written by Mark Miller, who wrote Wanted and other stuff that isn't coming to mind right now. All those comics you love, he wrote. He's working on Old Man Logan, Wolverine the Minute, and stuff like that. Awesome. This is an awesome book. Marvel 1985 basically premises real world, 1985, and all the supervillains find a pathway to our world. And they're like, hey, there's no superheroes here. Let's go kick ass. And the only guy who can stop them is a young kid who reads comics and knows all their weaknesses. Well, that's the premise, but it gets a bit better than that.
Okay.
It doesn't really work out like that in the end. But it's really good. The art in this is amazing. Have you seen the term photorealistic used?
Yes.
To describe Tommy Lee Edwards' art in this, and I don't think that's accurate
at
all. But it is. It's got a really weird quality to it where it does kind of, it's really kind of dark and really does feel almost like the real world does. It's really awesome. Originally this book was going to be done in photos. They actually did like a whole first issue where it was just photographs of like people, you know, like Magneto, you know.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, apparently it just looked stupid. And it probably
looked like one of those in the Sun problems pages where they do those like little photographs.
Yes.
You know, Magneto comes in and you know, Mole Man is sleeping with his wife or something.
Absolutely. Mark Miller, when he was at a Dublin Comic Con 2 years ago, he was talking about this, and he said, like, when you're looking at it, it just looks like a guy in a Magneto suit, you know, and it never looks like it's actually Magneto or any of the guys. So they didn't use that. They got Tommy Lee Edwards in. But unfortunately, in the collected edition, which I got, it doesn't come with the, even though they finished one issue with these photos, I thought they'd throw even in some pages in as an extra, but they didn't, which is disappointing. So I've never seen them, and I really want to see, like, because in the first issue, like, it ends, last page, Hulk, like.
Do they not redo that issue then with,
So yeah, the whole book, sorry, all six issues is just illustrated now.
Okay.
But there is this one issue done somewhere, you know, in Marvel Vault with the photos that hasn't been released, and I thought they might just throwing a few photos back, just
for the laugh. Like,
but they don't. It's really good. Also, just as a brief side note, Mark Miller's American Jesus Volume 1, Chosen, was released this week, which is about, again, I think I've spoken about this before, but it's about a young boy who discovers he's the second coming of Jesus. And what the thing I didn't know about this is that apparently it's a trilogy of some sort, because it's called American Jesus Volume 1, Chosen. But when I read it, it was just called Chosen, and it was just three issues and it ends. So I think he's now expanding it into some sort of longer form, which is great because it's really good. Like the best thing is, this new one doesn't have this cover, but the first cover of the comic Chosen is Jesus on the cross, and he's got a Frankie Says Relax t-shirt on. It's, like, it's just phenomenal. I really wanted to get this poster. Yeah. So yeah, Marvel 1985 and, to a lesser extent, American Jesus Volume 1 Chosen are recommended pickups by me this month.
Excellent.
What have you been reading?
What I've been reading is, let's see, wherever. It's called Three Fingers. And it's by Rich Kowalski.
Kozlowski.
Yeah, there we go.
I like this name.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Basically, Three Fingers is, it's kind of in, it's like a documentary style comic, kind of like Wimbledon Green by Seth, where it's kind of just kind of interviews with various characters, you know, to tell a bigger story.
Okay,
and it also includes some kind of photographs, well, you know, drawn photographs.
Yeah.
But basically, it's about, it's a retelling of the Walt Disney Mickey Mouse story, where Mickey Mouse is now Ricky Rat, and Walt Disney is now Dizzy Walters. It's I mean, in my mind, it's bordering on all sorts of legal issues in terms of very thinly veiled characters, because it's all characters from Disney and also Looney Tunes.
Okay.
But the basic premise is that Walt Disney is, he's just, you know, the talkie movies have just come out and he wants to get involved and blah, blah, blah. And he goes into Toontown and, you know, where it's kind of, at the start, it's kind of like Roger Rabbit.
Okay, yeah.
So he goes into Toontown, where all the toons are kind of, you know, they're frowned upon, so they're segregated into their own part of town. And he discovers Ricky Rat playing the piano in this, you know, downtrodden bar, and basically, you know, takes him away and starts making films with him.
Yeah.
And the films become, like, really successful to everyone's disbelief. They can't understand why, you know, the critics can't understand why he's so loved by audiences. And so they started letting other characters, very thinly veiled ones, like there is a Winnie the Pooh who's just called something like Winnie the Pea, and there's an actual drawing of him just sitting there in a pool of urine. But so all these other cartoon characters come out of Toontown to start making films, but their films aren't anywhere near as successful as Ricky Rat's films. But then it starts taking a very, very dark turn when, you know, all the sort of documentary interviews start talking about how something might have been going on, something called a ritual is going on, and rumors of this something that Ricky is up to that makes people like him. And it turns out to be rather ingeniously, because I thought, where are they going with this? This is just going to, whatever this comes out with, it's going to be stupid, but it wasn't. It was genius. As the name of the book is called Three Fingers, Ricky Rat has only three fingers, and all the rest of the cartoon characters have four.
Okay.
So what they start doing is having their fourth finger surgically removed in a process that is frowned upon by everybody, but it's so geniusly told. There's like, as I said, like a documentary, like there's bits with Speedy Gonzales, who was able to zip in and out and take photographs of an operation happening, you know, so quickly. And, like, there's a horrendous version of Daffy Duck, who's obviously in an old folks' home, and he's being wheeled out for the interview, and then you realise that whatever's happened, they've taken off all his fingers, and he's just left with stumps. And it's really it's much darker than I thought it was going to be. And a great book, a really great book.
Sounds good.
So check that out, Three Fingers by Rich Kowalski.
Kozlowski.
Published by Top Shelf. We'll link it up anyway, but really good. Highly recommend.
Okay. Also, what I've also been reading this month is Powers. Which again is I've spoken briefly about this in comparison to Gotham Central, which is a book about cops and Batman.
Yes.
So this is another comic book where it follows just some regular cops in a world of superheroes, but it's not tied to any Marvel universe or anything like that. And it's basically they solve sort of superhero crimes, like a superhero has been murdered, you know, and they have to go clean up the body and, you know, and start interrogating suspects and interrogating other superheroes. And throughout of the turn, you find out fairly quickly that the main cop in it, I've skipped ahead, there's basically a guy and a girl, partners, you know.
Right.
They remind me a lot of Sam and Max from the games / comics, in that one of them is really crazy and wants to kill people all the time instead of asking questions, while the other one is more restrained. And Yeah, and it's just go around solving superhero crimes. But then, like I said, pretty quickly you learn that the main character was a superhero who lost his powers. So he kind of has like these all these inside contacts, but also kind of wishes he was a superhero and stuff.
Okay.
It's really good. It's really, it's like really dark, and then next page, like just really funny, like really humorous. It's a really weird mix. There's a great issue where Warren Ellis turns up. And and he's writing a comic book, you know, and he wants to go with the cops, you know, like a novelist getting research information, so he wants to go and, you know, hang with the cops to get information on what it's really like dealing with superheroes. And he ends up being like murdered in the end. Like, it's insane. It's really good. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, who's a big Marvel guy, and drawn by a guy whose name I can't pronounce, but I'm gonna give it a go. Michael Avon Oming or Eoming.
Why do we always read comics that have by people with complicated names?
From now on, I'm just reading books by like John Jones and
Rich Richardson.
So I just picked up volume 2 of Powers recently, which just came out, and it's really good. Buy it. I would highly recommend.
Alright.
And finally, since you don't have anything else, I've got one last thing which I just read just a scant few hours ago. Superman Brainiac.
Whatever this is, it's going to be brilliant.
Well, no, it is. It's really good. Brainiac is, I don't know much about Superman, but Brainiac's one of his main villains. Okay. He's a very smart robot alien. I've read this book today about him, and I'm not even sure what he is. He's an alien of some sort. He's kind of actually, I remember thinking, he's like the brains in Futurama that want to absorb all the knowledge in the universe. You know, and so, yeah, whatever. Brainiac's pretty stupid. But this book's really good. The best thing, people don't like Superman. I don't know if you've noticed this, I've noticed this.
Yeah.
And I had the same preconception, so I feel like it's my duty to knock down these preconceptions and just tell them wrong. People think, you can do anything, Superman.
Yeah.
But where's the threat? And, how can I relate to a character who, you know, can do everything? But those are ridiculous things, because any superhero comic, there's never any real threat. The Green Lantern, for God's sake, like, make anything you want, with a green ring, you know, so that argument's moot. And Superman's so relatable to, because he's just a farm boy, grew up in a farm, moved to the big city, doesn't really understand people. I mean, these are all things. I just moved to the big city myself, and I'm thinking, I was just a simple farm boy, you know, and now I'm working in the big city, and, you know, so Superman's a very relatable character, and I've written here, this book has everything. Low-level drama.
I can't believe you've written that down.
Yeah, has I scribbled this down at lunch. Has everything. Low-level drama and the great action scenes. That's my lunchtime review. But this is great. It both shows Clark Kent with his family, with Lois Lane, with his mom and dad. You know, just a regular guy. And then, you know, he goes up to space and kicks ass. Kicks Brainiac's ass. So it's all good. And it has a sucker punch of an ending that will just leave you crippled in tears. If you've ever seen anything relating to Superman, if you've watched one episode of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Lois and Clark, this will destroy you on an emotional level. So Superman Brainiac's really good. Definitely pick that up as well if you were going to buy comics on my recommendation, which you may not want.
Excellent.
I think that's all I've been reading.
And now to the magic of podcast editing. We're going to bring you a review of a new Irish comic called Mindpus Volume 1, which we didn't have a copy of when we were recording the podcast that you're listening to now. So this review was from me, Liam. Craig isn't here. Mindpus Volume 1 is the first published comic book offering from cartoonist Ronan Kennedy, who we had a short interview with on our 24-hour Comics Day show. Contained within this debut issue are Sad Dog and the UFO, The Pursuit of Mindpus, and Jerry Hoon and His Raccoon, three equally strange and surreal stories. This is an absolutely cracking first issue, filled with the kind of weird and creepy creatures that populate Kennedy's previous 24-hour and Irish Comics Challenge efforts that can be seen on mindpus.com. Each story in this collection seems like it could have been dreamt up after eating a block of mature red cheddar before bed. In The Pursuit of Mindpus, a scientist trying to get into some other dimension finally achieves his goal after some glitches and bad experiences. In this new dimension, the scientist lands on a barren landscape where he enters a cave of a sleeping alien dragon creature, which he kills in order to steal its young offspring, in order to, well, who am I kidding? The experience of trying to describe these stories without actually seeing them visually is pointless. Text is kept to a minimal throughout this comic. leaving the art to tell the story. And Kennedy can certainly tell a story. From the vast and lonely last panel of Sad Dog and the UFO to the mind-bending head trip of our scientist, this is definitely a welcome addition to the Irish comic scene. The cover of Mindpost Volume 1 is a watercolour of a man sculpting a strange creature, and I certainly hope Ronan will be sculpting more of this work in the very near future. Mindpost Volume 1 can be bought from SubCity for €3, and for a list of other places to buy it, I suggest you check out mindpost.com, where you'll also be able to see a large back catalogue of Kennedy's work. So now let's get on with our regular programming, and I believe we're about to talk to a Mr. Bob Byrne.
Yeah, hello?
Bob, how's it going?
What's the story, man? How are you?
We're calling live from Studio Comiccast here.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, are we in the middle of something?
Not really. But we can just start now if you want.
Yeah, sounds good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on loudspeaker if you think you sound a little bit weird.
No.
Oh, excellent. All right, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, well, our special guest
this week is Mr. Bob Byrne. Hello, Bob Byrne.
Hello, friends.
How are you?
Not bad at all, man. Not bad at all.
Good.
What are you talking about?
Comics.
Yes.
What was the thing you were talking about before?
We were talking about a comic.
We haven't recorded that.
No.
We're doing you first.
You're still pre-rehearsing all your bits?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's pretty much what's going on.
We've been here since like 7 o'clock, just running over the script over and over.
Yeah, I know. So, come on.
So Spasmoid.
Yeah.
How dare you?
So, what's it all about?
It's about 28 pages. Oh!
Is that it?
Spasmoid is my new webcomic. When's this coming out?
Next Tuesday.
So it's live by then.
Okay.
It's a webcomic that, you know, I'm sick of drawing serious comics and, you know. 2000 it is, it pays the bills and all that, but it's too much work, and I want to do, not silly, I just want to do what I want to do, and Spasmoid, like, with the shit in there, I wasn't really feeling what I was doing, you know what I mean, like, it was it was funny, but it was tame, you know?
Yeah.
So Spasmoid is just me acting the prick. Silly, have you seen it?
Yes.
Yes.
We've seen the two, two preview bits, they're actually awesome.
Really good, yeah.
There's only two now, but when it goes live, there should be about five or six.
And every Friday.
Every Friday, I put a new one up.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. Is it going to be an entire new site, or will clamnuts.com still be there, or?
Yes, the main is clamnuts.com/spaz. and it's mostly done that. You know, it's intertwined. When you land on the Clamnut site as of next week, it's going to be like, take me to Spasmoid. Lots of shit's going to be gone.
Yeah.
I just couldn't, like, for the past year, I've been trying to figure out a way how to do a webcomic. And I was looking at all manner of fancy flash. Like, I had this thing when I was going to go where it was deadly, but not really deadly. You know, like one of these interactive flash things that you turn the page and it makes a noise.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool, but, like, it's, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah,
and then I found this comic press thing that lots of web comics are using now.
Okay.
And it looks deadly. You know, it's a blog, and bam, you just stick it up, and the comic is nice and big, and it's 4:3 ratio or whatever. So when it is page turning or fucking it's just bam, there you go.
Well, it looks good. So I guess it's going to be more kind of like stuff from the Shiznit kind of era of things?
You know, there's going to be a few episode things, like Uncle Spunknugger will be about 8 consecutive weeks, and I might even put like 3 pages up in the same week.
Okay.
Because I can fly through them, you know, I can do one of them in a couple of hours. Okay. Humor, or content wise, it's Jesus, like whatever I want. There's no rules, you know. But the shit, it was a fucking nightmare, because you had to, on one hand, you had to keep the advertisers happy, not that there was many of them, but it it's in print and it will haunt you forever. Like, if I put something ropey up on that site, I can just delete it, you know?
That's brilliant. So you can just get out of libel really quickly.
Yeah, look, it was fucking, I was starting one day the other night and I was just about to draw it. I was thinking, what are we doing? I don't
want to
publish that. I
want to
put that on the internet.
Yeah. Brilliant. It struck me as really odd that just recently Alan Maloney of Looseville.com announced his demise, the end of Looseville, and the fact that the webcomic is finished in his eyes, and that he's putting out a print comic now, and that you're doing the exact opposite. And you were both kind of like top of your game. You know, he was a pretty successful webcomic, and you had loads of successful, you know, print comics.
Yeah, well, first thing, I never heard of the bloke.
Dynamite.
Yeah, that, Alan. No, I know. He spams me every week with his, this week I've done six comics and all that. He used to do it for... what was that piece of shit called? Mongrel.
It was a piece of shit.
Piece of shit. if you're listening, lads, the boys down on Mongrel, they're a pack of queer. what are we talking about? Yeah, your man, he's making a print comic. Yeah, I got an email from there the other day. Said like him. Like, having done the reverse heel, unless he's made some kind of time machine that he could travel back to 1986. like, it's... print is fucked.
You heard it here first, kids.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no, it just won't work anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
So, fair play to him. I love physical comics. Who doesn't want to hold it rather than watch it on the screen? But the physicalities of getting a comic print delivered, distributed, it's such a nightmare. I felt like, though, maybe he's been doing it for so long with the webcomics that he feels like he's ticked that box and he wants to, you know, give it a go.
Yeah.
But you can see yourself, a lot of the big webcomics do that. Like, they hit a point and then they set it up and publish them. But, yeah, we've done it the exact opposite. I love publishing comics, but it's so much grief. Yeah.
So is there any chance we'll see a collected Spasmoid in the future then, no?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay. Prince dead, but I'm still doing it.
And a complete turnaround. Yeah. this is something agonized over. Like, the comics are going to be drawn, you know, screen size. And the Uncle Spunk Nugget thing that I'm going to be putting up on it, I had that ready for Shit in at 5, you know, sketched out. And it was like A4 size, and it was, you know, I had to go for a little walk there along the canal and think about this, and I'm going to make it ready for print or ready for the screen, like forever, ever make it a digital thing or make it that can be printed someday. And I, you know, fucking skim the stone into the lippy on top. I'll go with the thing, the digital, you know.
Yeah,
it's most probably going to stay, well, you know, this is fucking... Unless it gets mad popular and people want to buy it, but I'm not going to publish it.
Right. So,
to be honest, most of the content is going to be ropey in terms of, like, I have to get it done each Friday. And if it takes me 3 minutes and I post it, I'm going to fuck.
And I guess you can always bring in guest slots for the weeks that, you know, you can't be bothered drawing one.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, a couple of my mates have already started sniffing at me. And I don't know, for this, like, it's going to be broken down into issues, and issue one's going to be, you know, 28 pages or 32 pages. So I'm thinking of just doing this run all by myself, and then for the next one, there's a few lads that I would like to help out, but no, I'll probably see how long I can do it on my own for. I'll probably get sick with this in about 2 weeks, and it's not
going to by the time the podcast goes up.
So it's gone up, let's see, will be this Friday, would it not be?
What day is it today? 29th?
Yeah.
Next week.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Alright, well, we look forward to Spasmoid. But what we really want to know is, what's bugging you this week?
What's bugging me this week?
Yeah.
Let's get this, I don't know, like, I have to get the dark to work down in the morning. My people just fucking disgust me. ever just get on? You ever get, you don't get the train when.
Yeah, we get the train to. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, you do. You have to stand beside people. And they're reading. They're just fucking horrible. I don't know. That just puts me on a downer. As soon as I see these horrible, hollow faced. Well, like, not all the ugly people depress me. It's all the fucking. My dad goes up past. Well, my dad. I mean, all dads go up past Grand Canal Dock. That's the place where all the corporate banky places are. And there's all these dudes with the same age as me with their fucking prim little haircuts and the thing. And they're just the equivalent of a fucking factory worker 50 years ago. They think working in a bank is somehow, you know. And they'll see now by the end of the year when they're all fucked out on their own. That, you know, they're just hired hands. And that fucking disgusts me! This week's been a great week. That blind counting, that sort of annoyed me a bit. Gorilla artist hangs a thing up in a picture. Now I know the dude doesn't call himself a gorilla artist. People are saying, oh, gorilla art isn't it great, isn't it, like culture jamming. That's one expression that fucking makes me hit. Culture, like alternative culture jamming, boingboing.net, all that crap. And I'm just fucking conform. Be normal.
Well, yeah, I guess the one thing that annoyed me about that story was the fact that so many naked pictures, horrific naked pictures, including yours, of Brian Cowan, started appearing on the web. I've seen around 20 in the last 2 days.
Are they any good? I haven't seen any good.
Well, I mean, they're all Brian Cowan naked. They're all pretty grotesque.
I live in a cave. I didn't really know about this. Your man asked me to draw a picture of Brian Cowan. Dude, to be honest, first of all, I don't even know what Brian Cowan does. I know he's the Prime Minister or something. I'm not against him. You know what I mean? As I said on the blog today, it's nothing personal. Like, I'll draw me dead mass looking Lexington Steel's with 18-inch black jug.
Excellent.
But what annoys me about it is that I've seen on lots of blogs, this is abomination. The government clamped down on freedom of expression. Nobody cares. Fucking idiots.
Yeah.
They're watching fucking Grey's Anatomy or whatever that geek is. People, they're clamping down on our civil liberties, our freedom of speech. That's in America. That's about all the shit. You know, where's people that whinge about freedom of speech? We have freedom of speech. Fucking excellent. Ridiculous.
Go on if you have more.
But I was just saying to a friend there today about freedom of speech. But I think it's deadly. I'm just reading a book about Stalin at the moment. And, you know, when you think of it, like, you fucking, if you walked wrong, you were put to death. And to be honest, like, to have freedom of speech and to exercise it is something deadly, something that we all have. And he reminded me in Shizna issue 2, my whole rant about the Arts Council. Like, in other countries, you'd be fucking shot for that. And hey, you know, you can say whatever you want, and I think everyone should give it a twirl at least once in their life.
Yeah. Excellent. How is the Eclectic Mix blog going?
Ask Declan. He's checking the stats every day, printing them out and putting them under his pillow. Get this, man. He's had a blog for about 3 years, I think. And about 4 months ago, he says to me in the pub, oh, hey, did you ever hear this thing called Google Analytics where you can see where all the traffic comes from? I was like, what? Up until then, he didn't know, like, how many visitors he had, what the keywords and all that shit. And since he found it out, man, all he does is check web stats. You know what I mean? But it's going good. I think we could paint ourselves into a corner just doing portfolio pieces. Do you know what I mean? Instead of having fun with it, like, I was thinking of what I'm going to draw next week. On one hand, I'm saying, it'd be good to actually, like, draw Wolverine and Colossus and Nightcrawler and all that, just so I have them.
Yeah.
I think I'm not going to enjoy that. You know what I mean? I'd rather draw grot bags out of Emu or something fun. And I think the lads are way better than me, except Will. we're all different, and like some of the shit that they're pulling out of the bag is incredible. I think a bit polished and a bit too But, yeah. You know, it's fun. I'm honored that I'm part of it, because if I wasn't, my head would be wrecked. I'm thinking about that shit, and I said, Jesus, man, if I wasn't in this, and this is the thing, man, there's about 5 or 6 of the lads on the periphery that I know, and their heads must be fucking minced. And, you know, we're not going to let anyone in, you know?
So this is brilliant.
There's sort of a chance, and no names mentioned, that was sniffing around there for a while.
Yeah. But you're not you're not accepting submissions at the minute, though.
I can't, who's gonna join me?
I don't know.
Who is there?
Phil Barron.
Him? Fucking Mr. Website. Have you seen his portfolio website?
No. Yes, I have, yes.
With all the corporate websites.
I have seen it, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is unreal. It's so closely linked to the blog, but there's no link to, you have to fish around to find it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was showing them to a fellow I work with, you know, about, I was saying, like, artistic people and the shit they do for money. And Phil being a prime example of that. Tremendously talented artist and writer. And the soulless quality of those websites that he makes, it's just like he couldn't make a more soulless corporate thing ever. And to come from someone like him, it must kill him, you know.
that's brilliant. I hope he's listening.
I love Phil. He's fucking, you know. I think he's like the best, the best of the best.
Yeah, like, we know, agree. He's top of our list.
Different leagues than Steve Mooney and Thompson and all that, but yeah, his portfolio website, man, Jesus Christ.
Did I see on your blog about a snow globe that's in Carroll's or O'Carroll's?
Yeah.
Does that? Oh wow! I must check that out. I didn't realize it was actually like they'd made it. I thought it was like a prototype or something.
No, I'm looking at one here.
And you've just got loads of them there.
What is it? Sorry for the rest of us.
Well, you describe what it is, Bob.
I used to have a job that I was designing souvenirs for, you know, the Irish giftware business. Yeah. You know, like, on the low end of the scale, it'd be like leprechaun tea towels and leprechaun pencils, and the best things were the water balls, the water globes, as I called. You know, like a snow globe.
Yeah.
And inside it is a little, there's about 8 of them altogether. From Danny Boy, I drew a little cartoon version of Danny Boy. There's Molly Malone, leprechauns, there's a sheep, and I draw them in, you know, just in 2D, just give them like a frontal view and a few little details, send it off to China, and they'd send back a prototype. And I'll actually send you a photo of this to put up with this podcast thing.
Yeah.
Because I've been telling everyone about this, and I've yet to, I'm telling Nick Roach, a man that draws Transformers, about this. Right in front of me, as I speak to you right now, I have prototypes of these horrible souvenirs that were never made. I'm going to describe one to you now, and you're not going to believe it. Okay, they exhausted every avenue to make a souvenir. So for some reason, they said, wouldn't it be a good idea to make a Molly Malone, but have her as a dolphin? So it's a dolphin dressed as Molly Malone. These are the only ones in existence. They're prototypes. Like, when the company saw them, it said, what the fuck were we thinking? And we get this beside it. There's a whale, right? And on top of him is like an Irish top hat. You're thinking, what's the Irish connection? And the plaque says, Moby Dick.
Oh my god.
Dolby Mick.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
That's the thing, like, that's like my first family heirlooms. Because they're the only ones.
Yeah. With good reason.
they're horrible. Everyone sees it. What? Like, the fish, they're horrible.
We'll try and get our hands on one of those, one of the ones from Carl's shop, and we'll give it out as a prize maybe next week.
Yeah, you can still buy them.
We'll do that.
We will do that.
Yeah, all
right. Yeah. Well, this has been fun, sir. But we may actually, this was so much fun. We might even turn this into a regular Bob Burns rant thing if you're up for it.
This is the thing. Fucking Bob Burns rants. you make it out that that's all there is. I'm a sensitive human being. I don't do like this. You know your man that owns that comic shop, or you found that comic shop and then into the fucking rockabilly?
No.
No. The third place, was it?
The third place.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, he always says, oh, this is Bob, he's a wacky dude. I hate that. I'm not a wacky dude.
Okay. All right. Well, we're only interested in your wackiness.
Yes.
I'm wearing an Adidas t-shirt at the moment. How normal is that?
That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right. Well. Thanks very much for joining.
Yeah. You've had me on again. I'll talk about things, but don't say Bob. Do it around.
All right. We'll say Bob Burns. Normal things. Conversation. Everyday conversation.
That's more like it.
All right.
Excellent. All right. So
thank you.
Thanks a lot, lads.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Bob Byrne.
Yeah.
So join us next week for more of Bob Byrne's rants.
He's wacky.
Now our final section.
Yeah, just bits and bobs.
Bits and bobs.
Doohickeys.
Comic tidbits.
Do you want to start off or should I?
No, why don't you start off?
Okay, well, I feel last month, you may remember, we got drunk and talked about the Watchmen movie, but which I hadn't seen at that point. And obviously it's a bit late. I don't really want to talk about a Watchmen movie.
Yeah,
I liked it. It was alright. But there is some Watchmen related merchandise after coming out. Some basically Tales of the Black Freighter, the animated movie.
Okay, yeah.
Which is basically the comic book in the Watchmen comic book. There is just on the very off chance you haven't read. There's another comic book in the comic book about a pirate guy.
Pirate adventure.
Yeah, because in the world, obviously in the world of Watchmen, I guess, since they're superheroes, people don't want to read comics about superheroes, they want to read comics about pirates, which is, I think, is a genius idea.
Mm.
So they've released, while they cut this out of the movie, they've released an animated version of the story, and it's really good. It's voiced by Jared Butler, is his name? The guy, the main guy from 300. Does the voice of the captain. He doesn't have a name, as far as I know. And I guess, just if you're not familiar with the story, it's... He's a pirate, kind of. The Black Freighter is after me. The Black Freighter is quite similar to the Black Pearl in Pirates of the Caribbean, in that there are zombie pirates on him, and they're chasing after this captain and kill all his crew, and he just has to kind of like make a raft out of his dead crewmates and sail home to protect his family from the Black Freighter, because he knows they're going to attack his town next, and it's really dark, really twisted. This animated movie. The comic style or the art style is a bit weird. Like, I definitely prefer the comic, how it's drawn the comic, than it is done animated. But that said, it's it's really macabre, really like really violent, really great. It definitely holds true to the comic. Just I didn't like the style as much. They're gonna release a version of the Watchmen movie with this interspliced into it.
Yeah, I've heard of this. Do you think it will add?
No, I think it just won't fit. I don't think in any way. I think it's a stupid idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a horrible idea, but on its own. And actually, the best thing about this was I'd never read, I've never gone through Watchmen and just read this story
without
reading the stuff. So it's definitely coherent, which is something I didn't think it was when I read Watchmen. What else have I got down here? Yeah, it's really good. It also comes with a documentary, Under the Hood, which, again, in the Watchmen book, there's the text pieces afterwards, and Under the Hood is the original... I think it's original Night Owl wrote the book about the original Minutemen, but obviously they cut that stuff out of the movie. So this is like, it's filmed like a 70s documentary on on all superheroes, and all the actors from the Minutemen actors are in it. And I think pretty much they just ad libbed all their parts, but they do all these interviews about different stories, like times they met up and different adventures they wanted. And it's really good, in the sense that it's not that good. But, as a sort of extra,
it's
definitely a fun half hour, but I guess kind of forgettable at the same time.
Mm.
But it's cool that they got everyone back, all the actors in there, and most of Watchmen main characters sort of make an appearance as well. That's all my thing, my Watchmen stuff.
I was just going to mention briefly, it's... of the Where the Wild Things Are trailer has been released. The new Spike Jonze film, based on the hugely successful children's picture book by Morris Sadek.
Never heard of him.
Really?
No, I'm joking. No,
okay, oh, shocking.
Yeah.
Because I was speaking to someone earlier on the week who hadn't. Okay. But anyway, yeah, so it's a wonderful picture, children's picture book,
yeah.
If you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I guess if you don't have kids, I don't know why you would.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But I've certainly seen it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, the trailer has been released for this, and this movie has been, you know, kind of slated for all sorts of production problems.
Okay.
In bringing it.
Yeah.
But they stretch it out into a film that's written by Spike Jonze and and Dave Eggers, fantastic writer of
stuff.
Yeah, of lots of novels. A heartbreaking work of staggering genius is a good one of his. But have you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't seen the trailer?
You
all right.
Sent me the link.
All right. Oh, I thought you did. Well,
describe it to me in vivid graphic detail.
Scene one.
Yes.
But basically, it's about a little boy who you know, goes under his bed and there's monsters. But fantastic looking trailer. It looks the business. It looks really good.
Okay. Yeah.
The only thing that ruined it for me on a personal level was that I believe the soundtrack, certainly soundtrack on the trailer, but I believe the soundtrack for the film is being done by Arcade Fire.
Okay, and you don't like
Arcade Fire. And I don't like Arcade Fire. But, you know, I can overlook that because it looks so awesome.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, we'll link it up. Check it out, because it looks like a good adaptation of a very good illustrated book.
Okay. Other tidbits I have. Dave Gibbons, the artist of Watchmen, has some stuff coming out. Slash out already that I thought maybe people might know about that I should just point out.
Yes.
Basically video game related, because I'm a big video game nerd. Broken Sword, The Shadow of the Templars.
Is that still going?
Well, this is the best thing. No, it isn't. But they've re-released the original one on the Wii and the DS. You know, and if you haven't played Broken Sword, it's an adventure game about the Templars, and it's brilliant. It's really funny, really well written. They go to Ireland. You go to Ireland in it, and it's like a really sweet, charming kind of look, foreign look at Ireland. It's really great, although they have really bad Irish accents, which actually makes it better. But the point is, in this new version, because it's 15 years old, it kind of looks like ass. They got Dave Gibbons to come in and redraw all the faces. Basically, anytime any characters meet, it blows up and there's zoom ins of their faces, and Dave Gibbons drawn these sort of animated faces for every character, all 80 characters in the game, or whatever. So I bought it this week and paid €50 for it on the Wii, which was a waste of money because I played it before, knew how all the puzzles went, and finished it in like 4 hours. But if you haven't done that, highly recommend it. It's on the Wii and the DS. The DS version doesn't have voices, so I wouldn't recommend that. But it's a really good game, especially if you haven't played it. Definitely worth it. And Dave Gibbons stuff really adds a lot to it. He did another game with these guys called Beneath a Steel Sky back in 94 or something.
Right.
And you can get that for free. Scumvm.org, or just search Beneath a Steel Sky. And it's like they've released it legally for free. And because it's been so popular since they released it for free, they're talking about making a sequel now. Dave Gibbons is on board. So
awesome.
It's a really good game. Also, just really briefly, there's a new game coming out called Bionic Commando, which is also a really old game.
Yes.
And if you, I don't know, they're releasing a comic of Bionic Commando beforehand, and Dave Gibbons has drawn that. So I guess if you're like a super Dave Gibbons fan for some reason, you might be interested in checking out the story of the Bionic Commando. I won't be. Yeah, I've got, do you want me to keep going? I've got loads. There's, as I saw on Facebook, which is now my new source of Comic-Cast news, Rob Curley of Sub City fame is opening a new...
Yes!
New store?
Yes, wow.
Yeah.
I've seen this. Do you know any more information?
It's in Dublin. I can't remember exactly where it is, but awesome.
Yeah.
Because I love Sub City and all, but it is very small and very cramped. So maybe they can move some of that stuff out to the other store. Awesome. Yeah, more space. Also, when I was in there the other day, I got a 10% discount card off Rob, so he's giving those out. So pop in there and get yourself a 10% discount. It's got a Watchmen thing on the back, so presumably it's because people are coming in Watchmen. I don't know. I didn't really get the reference. Alan Maloney's new comic. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes.
Bob earlier.
Oh yes, yes, we were
in the tradition of the comic as ruining careers. Alan Maloney has quit the webcomic business a scant 4 or 5 weeks after interviewing him about his webcomic.
That's
bringing out a print comic called The Abyss, is that?
Yeah, yeah, and on his blog, he said it's going to be kind of in the kind of 80s tradition of comics with an X,
yeah.
Style of comics, like Zap and those kind of anthology comics.
Yeah.
So we haven't, we are waiting for a copy to arrive in the post as we speak.
Look, the one page.
The front page. Yeah, the front page looks really good.
It doesn't really give too clear an indication
of what it is actually up. But there is a site up for it now, and that's linked We'll link it down there below. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it should be good.
I'm definitely interested in checking.
Can't remember if it was a weekly comic. I actually think it might be a new weekly comic.
Okay,
which is actually insane.
Yeah.
Because I know he said the printer, it's been printed in China.
Okay.
So, you know, fair props. I can't wait to read this.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope it goes well.
Yep.
I just read today that, and I haven't seen this sign unheard, unseen, the last week, a Muppet Show comic was released. It's called A Muppet Show Issue 1.
What? Yes.
Apparently it's brilliant. Apparently it's really good.
Oh, wow.
I just read the review really quickly today. I haven't even seen any images. I don't even know what it looks
That's
like.
That's insane.
But apparently it's, like, really sweet kind of take on the Muppets, and it doesn't necessarily try to replicate the TV show, like takes advantage of comic format, but
yeah.
A lot of it makes some good gags, and Marley's really good. I haven't read it, but I definitely want to check it out.
Well, I should say, I have being a huge Muppet fan that I am, I have several like really old Muppet albums, or annuals, I should say, that used to be frequented by Muppet comic strips. They were astoundingly good, and they were exactly just what you've described. It would be, you know, like the Muppets go to sea and they move the whole show onto a boat and go sailing. You know what I mean? And it worked brilliantly. It was really funny, so that's great news. We'll definitely follow that up.
I'm gonna be heading into Subcity/Rin Planet this weekend to try and find me a copy. That's really all my news. All
right. Well, I have got two launches. There are two launches coming up this week.
We'll be attending.
We'll be attending both.
Yes. And wearing hats.
I'm wearing hats so that you'll know who we are. Well, the first that I should mention is, let's see, hold on.
Doop-a-doop.
Yeah.
Just dead air. No, there's no dead air here.
Oh, yeah, here we go. So the first one is actually an album.
Okay.
Launch by Greg O'Brien.
Yes.
Whose comic we reviewed.
Ghost of a Doubt, was it?
Yeah, Ghost of a Doubt. A cracking little comic.
It was great.
And he's told me he's working on issue 2 that should be out later in the year.
Awesome. Well, fingers crossed.
But so what he's done in the meantime is he's come out with a split record. Okay. So it's an album, and half of it is his band, which is just him, which is called At Last an Atlas.
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
You say his band is just him. Is he a one-man band? So
He's in another band called The Hollows,
okay,
which has more than one person.
Okay, but it is, like, just the image I have is Greg O'Brien with, you know, a drum on his back, you know, like some sort of...
Like the guy from Mary Poppins
That's what this band is like. That's what tells me.
When you go to this launch, you will see Greg O'Brien
just prancing around the stage.
So the record is called Ships Leaving. It's a split record, as I said, between him and Paul O'Reilly.
Okay.
Paul O'Reilly, let's see. He's released lots of EPs and things according to this press release here.
Okay. Highly recommended.
Yeah, the album is like, the packaging and all that has been drawn by Greg.
Okay, great.
And I've heard two tracks from it, two of his tracks, and they're brilliant. They're actually really good.
Brilliant.
And, you know, usually we lie about these things.
We usually, if we don't like something, we just don't talk
about it. Yeah, we just don't talk about it. But they're actually really good. So that's, where is that on? The launch of that is on, this Thursday, the 2nd of April, in Shaw, on Camden Street.
Yeah.
And the doors are at 8:30, and it's a fiver to get in.
Yeah,
we'll be there. We'll pop our heads in for a little while.
I don't know if I can pay the fiver.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. We'll see, Greg. If you're listening, we want to go on the guest list. And then also happening that night, it's very exciting. Also happening is another launch.
Oh, on that very same night.
On that very same night.
And that one night that we mentioned, the 2nd of April on Thursday, this Thursday, it is Mindpost launch.
With
Ronan.
With Ronan Kennedy, who is launching the first issue of a comic called Mindpost.
Yeah, we've interviewed him briefly before for our 24-hour comic day special thing.
Yeah.
We actually interview him?
Yeah, we did.
Because I think maybe we just talked to him and didn't actually record it.
No, we did. And his stuff is hilarious and really weird and surreal.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. This stuff's
really And you can see that all on his website, mindpost.com. But that's happening upstairs in Toner's. On Bagot Street, at 8 p.m.
Cool. So you're gonna have to make a choice. We'll be at both.
Yeah,
we're just gonna go to one each and then swap it like halfway through.
And pretend the other one is just at the
bar. Yeah, no, he's just in the bathroom. He'll be back. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so I guess that's it. Unless you have any last minute.
No, that's pretty much it. I think. Yeah. For this week.
Hopefully.
So join us literally next week.
Yes.
Not 2 weeks, because we have a very special podcast.
Yeah.
Coming out next week.
Do you not want to tell them what it is?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, it's just a music special, I guess.
Oh, don't play it down.
It's gonna be amazing.
we're doing a very special show where we're doing a mixtape of songs.
Sort of comic related.
Comic related songs.
It's gonna be quite indie though. We're gonna try and get that street cred that all the other podcasts have with their music. We're gonna get that award this year, that Irish Blog Award. We're gonna have a music podcast to show them. That's the whole reason for this.
Yeah, this is the only reason we're doing it. So so join us next week.
Unless you don't like music, in which case 2 weeks. talk to you then.
Long ago in days of yore, it all began with a god named Thor. There were Vikings and boats and some plans for a furniture store. Not a bodega, it's not a mall. This he'll thank for apartments smaller than mine, as if there were apartments smaller than mine. IKEA, just some oak and some pine and a handful of Norsemen. IKEA, selling furniture for college kids and divorced men. Everyone has a home, but if you don't have a home, you can buy one there. So rent a car or take the bus. Lay your cash down and put your trust in the land where the furniture folds to a much smaller size. Billy the bookcase says hello. So does the table, his name is Ingo. And the chair is a ladder back birch, but his friends call him Carl. IKEA, just some oak and some pine and a handful of Norsemen. IKEA, selling furniture for college kids and divorced men. Everyone has a home, but if you don't have a home, you can buy one there. $60 and a chair and a lamp and a shelf and some candles for you. I was a doubter just like you, till I saw the American dream come true. In New Jersey, they got a goddamn Swedish parade. IKEA, just some oak and some pine and a